welcome to the Cult TV Club. And I'm here today with Jeanette.
Hi.
Alex.
Hey.
Gypsy. Angus.
Hello.
And Lisa.
Hey.
Hey, and I'm Justin. And welcome again to the Cult TV Club. This is a bit of a special. We're watching something from post-2000. This is an episode of Black Mirror, and it's called Bandersnatch. And it's something that's been on recently, and it's a bit unusual, isn't it? Why is it unusual, Lisa? You're the one that instigated this torture upon us.
I'm the only one... torture! Hey, you haven't even seen it yet. Yeah. Get yourself ready. So, I've experienced Bandersnatch, and as soon as I saw it, I said to the Classic Cult TV Club, we have to do this. We have to do it together. So, I've never watched Black Mirror before. Black Mirror tends to be, I think, a bit challenging, a bit dystopian, a little bit mind-bendy, and Bandersnatch is no exception. It's a Netflix special, and it's a choose-your-own-adventure. So, it takes you on a bit of a voyage. I think the plan is we're all set up with a Netflix account. We're ready to go. Have we picked someone to be our choice selector?
I think we may have. Do we have a volunteer? Is it Angus?
Are you comfortable?
I am more than happy to. However, it will probably end poorly. You are all forewarned.
When was Bandersnatch shown?
Just come out.
It's just come out. So
late 2018?
Late 2018.
Mm. Yes.
So this is something quite recent. It's considered a bit innovative, even though they used to do it on DVD.
Yeah.
So a pick your own adventure, interactive. I guess we'll see what we think after Angus has dragged us through the various problems that he has to face.
Good luck.
I just want to say to everyone before we start, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've handled worse TV shows before.
I'll reserve the apology acceptance afterwards.
I've spent the last couple of weeks still twisting this show over in my mind, so...
Okay.
Yeah, strap yourselves in, guys.
Okay, so on we go with Bandersnatch.
Apparently there's heaps of Black Mirror episode references, but yeah. I don't know what they are because I haven't seen them, so... Oh, that's awesome.
They're probably heaps, but the one I noticed was basically... I was going to say, mess of spoilers.
So be warned.
And there'll be spoilers. Lots of
spoilers. Yeah, spoilers.
Are we recording, are we?
Yeah, we are.
I'm too busy pacing around the room.
Yes, yes.
I'm not dealing.
My best friend watched this show when it first came out, and he said it was amazing, and I can see why.
You get it now.
Yeah.
We watched it on like the Monday or the Sunday or something, and then I think we met up on the Wednesday, and I was like, we have to do this. We have to do this.
I do see the references to Donnie Darko. I do see it.
Also, in Donnie Darko, which is an absolute must for anybody who's interested in cult TV, it's all about an individual that is in this time loop, this strange time loop. I won't say how it ends, but it's got a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
And there's various hallucinations that he's seeing all the way through. This has that element to it.
And everything time-related had the rabbit.
Yes, everything time-related had the rabbit. That's right.
Should we formally start that
guy?
That was really good.
Hey, audience, how are you doing?
So that was Bandersnatch. We had Angus controlling, and he was leaving us to the very last second before he took
it.
The last second every time.
I'm given a full, 5 seconds, I'm going to use them.
Yeah. It does feel like we went through every single timeline, almost, as though we got through the options. We picked the easy one first, the one that ended in a dead end, and we picked the other one, or we were forced to pick the other one, basically. So it felt as though we went through every storyline we could, almost. It reminds me of the game, have you heard of the game Stanley Parable? Basically, for those who haven't played it, it's basically, there's a narrator saying, and here's what the player's going to do, or what the character's going to do. And you can either obey them or disobey them, and depending on which option you pick, you end up with a different storyline. And the point is, realizing part of the game, of course, every single storyline is mapped out for you, and you're just picking which one you choose, whether or not you obey the narrator at all. It's similar to this, no matter which option you pick, you're still basically going to go down the same storyline anyway, depending on whether you actually want to continue.
I think the only option we didn't explore fully was the one that I did before introducing us to you guys, which was, I guess, just we're pulling all the spoilers out, aren't we? There's no... So my husband had control when we played it, so of course we killed the dad, and it goes deep into it, and then of course Colin comes around, so he has to get killed too, and it gets quite convoluted, but you know, Angus didn't want to kill the dad.
Yeah.
Ended up going back through time and dying in the past.
I feel like I died so many times and failed and got so many resets that I also unlocked that unique branch. I feel like that was probably because
I wonder if we'd done the fight scene, whether we would have got a proper end credit.
Yeah.
Is it because we tried to escape before the ending, maybe?
I think it had a fixed number of endings, probably.
Yeah. If we went again, we could probably
miss one of those endings, then it redirected you back.
It does make people try it again. Options. I'm sure lots of people have played it, watched it many times.
We got the Netflix ending, so I guess if you've done this before and you've been lucky enough to get that I think we all started yelling as soon as it all came out.
Yeah, so it had a meta quality, didn't it?
He keeps saying someone's controlling these decisions, which of course are the decisions that are being controlled. Yeah. So you've got this, you are the meta, the god person making the choices.
And I think the thing that kind of kept me up at night thinking about it is because, you know, I guess a bit like Angus, I was trying to help his mental health. I wanted him to get better. And the more you're trying to control him to get him better, the more you're responsible into his slide into mental health issues. You're the one causing the problems.
And of course,
every parent's nightmare. The more you try to help your child, the worse.
But that's like really ringing true to mental health issues. Like you go around to kids and try and help them today, unless they really want it, you're just going to make them worse.
But I think it's also the fact that if this is a normal life, allegedly, normal for England, then it's not a story. If it's just a kid who, if it's a 20-year-old who programs a game and it's reasonably successful, it's a boring story which lasts 20 minutes. If we have a 20-year-old who's hallucinating and thinks that he's part of some government agency or mind control thing, then it's an interesting story. If he suddenly discovers he's a fictional character, that's an interesting story. If he suddenly discovers that he can travel through time, that's an interesting story. But the interesting stories are the ones that get him killed or get someone else killed or that damage him mentally or physically. It's almost as though we have to choose the storylines that are destructive to other people. We could have very easily had the boring story and the story we want to pick for ourselves, but it's boring. It's not exciting to watch. They're watching us watching the show, which is boring, watching somebody else watch a thing.
And also, you get to also watch the show.
And I think the therapist even said that. If there's someone from the future controlling this game, why would you be wanting to control someone who's sitting in a room talking to a person?
Well, the thing is, we're only seeing this choice of path. So, and like 10 seconds ago, I could have very well killed Dad.
We have a day-to-day lives, which is boring.
You don't write stories about people living their day-to-day life. It's very difficult to do so.
Unless it's like a soap opera, which is like very dull and dry.
But even that is really ramped up.
People get wrapped up in those. So.
Stories in soap operas are not people's day-to-day lives.
So the other thing with this was there were time skips. It would do four months later, 3 weeks later.
Yeah, and it would jump around the place. It did feel a lot of that was basically, you picked the wrong ending. Congratulations, we're just going to skip to the end where you realise you picked the wrong ending.
There were a couple, though, where it was just speeding through because he was given months and months to work on the game.
To work on the game, that's
skipping
right.
Through to, mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. It was still skipping through to interesting point.
What did you think of being the person who had to make the decisions? There were those small decisions in the beginning, like picking cereal, and then suddenly, hey, do you want to come work on this game? It was an obvious choice. What were you going to pick? Of course you're going to pick yes.
Well, I realised that there was a singular point where I realised what the show was, and I realised the gimmick and got all that, and I tried not to choose anything. It was when he was sitting at the psychiatrist's and he had the option of biting his nails or pulling his earlobe. I didn't select anything.
And it forced him anyway.
It randomly picked one, so I was trying to explore a potential third path of what happened if you
let him go.
Yeah.
And we know what happens if you let it go. It makes everybody else that's watching it with you really angry.
But does he leave a happy ending if you just let it go?
Because it doesn't actually give him the happy ending anyway, because it'll just force pick and play out those options anyway.
Yeah.
And even then, the happy ending is he made a crap game and he's disappointed with himself. That's the good ending.
That's the good ending, Mediocrity is the good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would look like, though, if he just totally left it alone.
and let it go to its own devices. Yeah. Or you could do the option that my husband did, other than kill the dad, was just to throw tea on the computer all the time, and then it would reset back and he'd go, no, we'll throw the tea on the computer again. After about the fourth time, you know what's going to happen when you throw the tea on the computer. Yeah. Stop throwing tea on the computer. Let's throw tea on the computer again.
I wonder if, like, the choice of cereal at the beginning, if you choose the other cereal, what happens?
What an ad was basically, he puts in the documentary, and just before the documentary plays, there's an ad for the cereal, so maybe that's a change. And that's what I was thinking.
I was wondering
I was wondering if the music that was playing throughout the entire thing was the music that I selected. So what music did you select?
I selected Thompson Twins, and it played Thompson Twins.
Which song?
And then Hold Me Now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know whether I can sing it for the podcast. I think that might be a copyright thing. But then I don't know which. I think we picked the same Tangerine Dream album that you did.
Because I'm wondering if that changes the background throughout the entire thing.
No, it changes when you go down that alternate half with the drugs and everything.
Right, okay.
Because he put on the other
record. So was PAX there was PAX in there. Was that a complete red herring?
Did we pick it?
Yeah, we never picked it.
It didn't seem to have any maybe that's a reference to another, sort of like a side.
That was the one they had to worship at the beginning, you know. They said, do you worship him or deny him?
That's the thing. We only saw the thing once.
We never picked that one either, so I don't know what happens with that one either.
PAX showed up a lot. It was the demon when they were on LSD. It was the demon that you didn't want to worship.
PAX.
It was the demon that ended up making the author murder his wife. It was the demon that was pixelated around the room. It was that demon showed up lots.
We didn't pick the option where he appears. He manifested in a way that was plot relevant.
So there was another ending that we got that we didn't see tonight as well. So there was the kill dad option, which we explored thoroughly when I played it at home with my husband. And then there was also one of the options on the kill dad option was then it goes through the credits. It shows you that they're trying to reboot the game, but it's Colin's daughter Pearl is trying to reboot it for Netflix. And then you're watching her do all of the same things that Stefan was doing, and then the options come up on the bottom of the screen. And you start controlling the daughter doing it as well. That was another cool option. But somewhere online there has to be all these different options.
Yeah.
It'd be quite fun to write that though. So you could bring as a writer thinking, do I want to do this or that? You can do both. It's very postmodernist. Happened a few times in postmodernist.
Yeah, the downside is yes, we worry about every single stretch of options. I don't think we went through nearly every option though. Because like
closing in.
It also feels weird realizing that the past changes depending on which option you pick. In some realities, this is a real thing. In some, this is an hallucination brought on by drugs that is trying to be intentionally traumatic or whatever. And so the actual history of the story changes depending on the options you pick, and it's kind of weird like that.
So as someone who's watched Black Mirror, I think, Alex, you're the only one who's watched Black Mirror, aren't you? Justin, you've watched Black Mirror? I've never watched Black Mirror. I've only watched Bandersnatch. So what are your thoughts as far as the themes of Bandersnatch compared to TV series?
The thing, I've only watched the first two series because they're the only two that you were able to watch without Netflix. They aired on SBS 5 years ago, something like that. So one of the episodes where the branching pattern symbol also appears in was an episode called White Bear, I think it was, where the, spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched that episode, you think up until the point that some computer thing is controlling people's minds, but the reveal is that this is a facility designed to torture somebody. The idea is that she was an accomplice to her husband kidnapping a child and murdering them, and so the people around being hypnotized by them think, so actually filming her being humiliated and tortured, because she thinks as though, it's hard to explain, but basically the idea is that the reveal is pretty major changing about the way you actually see the entire episode.
So is there parallels between White Bear and Bandersnatch then? Because there's that mind control and humiliation.
No, it's more that she thinks that there's mind control there, but the reveal is that she's actually being humiliated and tortured because she's accomplice to this crime, and the fact that she's being filmed, because what she did was she filmed her husband kidnapping and torture and kill his child, and this is making her feel this, and then they wipe a memory at the end of the day, make her relive it. So this is like, this is what you made that child feel, and that's basically the reveal.
I think generally this show sort of caught that disconnectedness and the sort of sci-fi elements that the rest of Black Mirror had. So quite a few of the Black Mirror episodes are about people who are in these disassociative states where they're not quite connected to reality, and not the things that are going on around them seem to be happening to someone else and things like that.
It is a comment on technology, on our relationship with technology causing a disassociation. So in this, it's part of his relationship with media, with the computer game.
But in particular, this is very much based on Bostrom's paper, Do We Live in a Simulated Universe? And of course, it's a question without any way of actually positively answering either way.
Yeah, and but more importantly, compared to this universe, it's not as though somebody's controlling my actions, at least not in the way that it's done for the purpose of entertaining some random other.
So is it an episodic TV show?
It is an episodic TV show. Except that it's of course individual stories.
That's what I mean.
Anthology is the word.
If I was to watch something like Star Trek, it'd be the same characters.
That's right.
Time.
Yeah, different characters. Different story.
Cool.
Say one episode is girl has her boyfriend die, so she brings him back to life using technology, and that's just one contained episode, and you can just watch that without watching it. I haven't seen the ones that are on Netflix only yet. So
what series are we up to in Black Mirror now?
Series four has finished. This is technically there's two series that originally aired on Channel 4 in the UK. There are two that were made for Netflix only. So this this would be part of season 5 of it.
And I think that originally the spoiler was that this was going to be the first episode of a new season, and then after it was released they said no, sorry, because of the amount of filming they had to do to create this is a whole season in itself, because the amount of filming they had to do was more than what they would have had to if it was a whole season of shows.
That's impressive.
Yeah, there's so many different
there have been four areas. Series 19 episodes.
That's it.
Because you mentioned the one timeline we didn't go through. There's probably only it depends on how many there are. So we pick the option where we go to the psychiatrist, and we pick the other option where we just go to meet Colin and he takes the drugs. So how many options?
I feel like
have
we're
we
definitely missing about 3 different ones.
Yeah,
just by the looking.
Wondering what happens if you never have to reset. If you go through the early stage without needing to reset once. There's like early on. There's the moments where Colin goes, have we met before? And there's all those.
Yeah,
moments,
yeah.
That's the thing, though.
Also
I think
later down the line when they're taking the drugs, Colin's like, it doesn't matter. It all resets. The character wouldn't have experienced anything that would lead him to believe that.
Have you thought of
there?
What would have happened if you'd have picked Stefan to jump off that balcony instead of Colin?
Yes, I also wondered about
that. He would have died and it would have been over.
Oh.
No, not credits. It's just he dies and you have to go back and pick him.
Because he approached his dad and like when they got out of the car, he's like, Colin jumped. I didn't stop him. Colin jumped.
No,
he didn't say anything.
No, it goes back to the screens.
Well,
and you've got to go back and pick a different option. It was
the
wrong path.
Yeah.
The thing in the story was,
I know, because we got all excited and went,
but then again, the context of the story, when Colin jumped, he's like, oh my gosh, Colin jumped, and it bounced back for you, as though that's an entire stream, rather than you resetting it back.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I think we'll be talking about it all night.
Yes.
What would have happened if you'd elected at the end not to go with Mum on the train?
That's
then
back
everything would have been
back in the loop again.
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing is he died while he was sitting in the chair when you got to make that choice. So, like, why aren't we talking about that? That's insane.
Yeah.
So, like, every single time, is it him just overthinking what's actually happened? Like, what just happened in that last timeline?
Maybe so.
And then you're getting the chance to go, okay, no, I'll do this instead. Is that literally just the process of overthinking?
Or is the fact that, say, the PAX study or the other things, maybe it's just his hallucinations and none of it's real, and we're just being shown his hallucinations, his imagination. Is none of that actually real?
Sure, it's all aimed at all these possibilities, so you never know what's really going on.
And the multiple endings reminded me a little bit of the 80s movie Clue as well. And I guess when we watch it on TV they show all 3 endings, but originally when you would go to the movies and watch it, you didn't know what ending you were going to watch. So, you know, 3 different people would go and see 3 different viewings and have 3 different endings to the movie.
There's always this deliberate aim to muddy things so you can't actually find out what the reality really was.
That's it.
It may not be one reality in the show itself.
I also like the fact that I'm just realising now that was a lot more fun to watch than some of the other stuff, because you're passively watching this dystopic thing and you're feeling crap about it, whereas we were actually laughing and joyfully going, oh my gosh, this is happening. It's a lot more fun than any other episode of Black Mirror I've watched, let me say that.
It's obviously unanimous that we're all enjoying it, and it's probably unanimous answer to this question, but what was everyone's favourite ending?
I don't know, Justin.
I don't know. I don't know which was I couldn't tell where the endings were, except when it finally came up with the credits.
I think I like the ending of basically the reveal that, yes, this is a movie set, we're filming this. That was a pretty interesting like little twist of like, this is
where
the
did that
set.
Come from?
I think that came from just the continually breaking the fourth wall to the point where
that's right.
Moved it completely and went, right, and cut.
And here's that one. And he's the directors of everybody actually.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the actual director of the actual series, or it's just an actor pretending to be the director. Whether that's
interesting question.
I thought the killing of Colin was probably the best one in all seriousness, because he disappears unlike everything else. He's gone.
So you don't know if that really did happen or not.
There's probably an ending somewhere that covers this, but like he's just, that's it.
And I can't remember how we got to it, but we had some back screens that we never saw him again. We had some where he was at work. So it was like, oh, okay, so maybe it was just all in his head. And then we had one, I don't know how we got to it, where the girlfriend Kitty, or the wife Kitty, rocks up at work and goes, where's Colin? What have you done with him? What have you done? I don't know what we did to get those endings. It was like, you said, muddied.
He also mentions the fact that some of the endings changed the other Vorks that we've seen in line. So like, which options you pick changed which happen, which endings happen in the next one you pick.
There were also a couple of scenes where if you pick one ending, you saw like just the book, lock door, get the key.
Yeah.
And you only saw that book, and that was a constant thing. And then
yes.
in the second to last playthrough where he looks at the book, the other book was beside it.
Yes.
And that was just before the Netflix option. Right. So I was like, that, okay, sure. I didn't think of anything at first. And then in one of the endings, you started seeing heaps of the symbols everywhere. Mm-hmm. Heaps of the symbols. And then in the next playthrough, they were gone and it was something else.
So that's what I'm thinking in terms of like the history changes.
Oh, was that the diagram?
For those of you can't see, Justin's found the diagram of the timelines that you can find on this
Indeed,
episode.
There is an entire flowchart online.
Yeah, it's convoluted
the second one there. I hit the third one there.
Yeah. Which ones didn't we hit, Justin?
Oh, I have no idea. It's so convoluted that you would have to spend an hour studying it to find out.
Would anyone go back and watch Black Mirror now?
Yes.
I'm keen to.
Really? That's the thing. Like, Black Mirror is a lot more dark than the rest of this episode.
Yes, this is actually a lighter episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, really?
Which is why it's taken me so long to watch Black Mirror.
So let's see.
Me too.
I've heard the very first episode is very difficult to watch.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Okay. You missed all the endings which lead to him being in jail, but no banner snatch released. There's an ending where there's a banner snatch because it's a 5 out of 5 rating, where we kill the dead and chop up his body. That's apparently an option.
That was our option. 5 out of 5.
I never knew, like, he died in the chair, but I never knew what the game rating was in the end.
Did the game
that, that is a great question.
How do you maximise the game output? That's
oh, there you go.
That's what I wanted to know. Every single time we got, like, a rating.
Yeah. Like a rating.
How do you get the best rating?
The best rating is we kill dead and chop up his body. Rather than bury him. But that, we didn't get an option because
that's
we...
I got the lowest. I got the lowest.
We
did 0 out of 5.
Do we get an option to chop up the body?
Yes.
If we have the...
You kill him the first. No, you just got to kill him.
I didn't even choose to kill him. It just did it as part of the...
So, let's go through it. So, anything on the computer we didn't watch. Stefan jumps out the window, we didn't watch. Banner Snatch is published.
I want to go back.
Any option where that Banner Snatch is not released, we didn't watch. And the option where the game gets 5 out of 5, but he's still in jail. It's basically the option you saw where the game gets adapted for the Netflix thing in the future.
Yeah, and then you start again.
Those are the only options we didn't get to see based upon this time chart. This is flow chart. Yeah, we watched nearly all the options except for the one where he jumps out the window, the one where he ends up in jail with Bennett's Snatch released, and the one where he gets get the best score, which I guess is the best ending, I guess. Yeah. It's the only option we get to see. So,
yeah.
I'm happy with the ending I ended with.
Yeah. Which is the best ending? Which was the best ending? The one where he's in the best mental health or the one where he gets the best score on the game?
Yeah.
The one where
definitely
he doesn't...
the best score on the game.
Yeah.
Definitely the best score on the game.
Isn't that a comment on creativity?
Yeah.
To be truly creative.
Yeah.
The one where no one gets killed. I don't think that's an option, is it? Because
there's an option where no one gets killed.
The very first one I did.
Yeah.
Accept the offer.
So what's the state of the writer of Bandersnatch, do you think?
Rowing. Are you talking about the fictional writer or like...
The actual writer.
Charlie Brooker. I think he's just a cynical fellow. So I think he's mentally fine.
So that was Bandersnatch on Netflix. I think people enjoyed them. Until next time, I'm not sure what we're watching.
We need something light.
Something light and shorter.
Oh, Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy
Bebop sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
So there we go, Cowboy Bebop.
I guess the podcast is over, but we will be thinking and talking about this for a long time to come.
Yeah.
Thank you.